Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lamberth. Today is Tuesday, July 30th, 2019. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and on Podbean, the host site. If you like this show, please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts and or Stitcher. Give it a 5-star review. Let everyone know why you like it, because it will make me feel good about myself and most of the life decisions that I've made so far. You can email the show at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. Let me know what's on your mind. More importantly, what's on your heart. You can like the show on Facebook. You can follow it on Twitter at Mundane Festival. And you can follow me, your host, the guy talking to you right now, on Twitter at Chris Lamberth. This is episode 365. It's just me. I'm sitting in my apartment after a long day of work. I just came from the gym. I took a shower. Just trying to get back in the gym. Day two of being back in the gym. I feel like I'm already ready for the Destination XL catalog. So I think the goal is to one day be fit enough to be like a handsome dude in the Destination XL catalog. I think that's a good short-term goal. I've got a nice salad waiting for me after this podcast. My favorite new place to go get food is this place called Maywood's Market, and it's in Maywood, New Jersey. It's I've just become fascinated by markets. Because you don't have to get your fat. Like, I don't have to go to I haven't been to McDonald's in about 2 weeks, I want to say. Yeah, I want to say 2 weeks. Like, you know, because you can get, like, food. You can just, like, warm it up. You get some chicken. Get some broccoli rabe. You can get, like, meatloaf and your starches. You can get some potatoes or some any type of thing. And it's pretty cool. So I'm trying to do better. I got a salad from them yesterday, and it was so good that I was like, oh, I'm coming back. So I've been trying to do better. I did have a Fat Boy Friday. Friday is usually like the end of the week. I like to go to a movie, I like to see a movie and eat some like takeout from somewhere. I went to Popeyes, and for the first time I tried their chicken tenders. Not bad, but I think it's just better to get just the chicken from there, just like the regular chicken, because if you don't do a combo right, like, you'll end up still paying like $20 for your food, you know, if you try to get, because sometimes they have specials. Anyway, I'm going off track. I tried their chicken tenders and they were okay. And then I had some left over from the night. So the next day I had like a couple pieces left. And then I just had like a pretty decent like brunch type thing where I didn't really have any food in my place. And I had the leftover and I had some like, Martin's potato rolls. So I had I made two of those buns and put the tenders in that, put some Cajun sparkle on it, and then put a little mambo sauce on there. No, not mambo. Oh, my God. My black car was about to get taken away. Mambo sauce. I am so sorry, Black Twitter. I vehemently apologize. I don't even know if that's the right syntax to use. I am truly sorry for saying mambo sauce and not mumbo sauce. Oh, my God. I am so sorry. Please do not cancel me. I've said much worse that I should be canceled for, but don't cancel me for that. I am sorry. I apologize. Okay, and I put some mumbo sauce on there, and that shit was good. And I warmed up. I put some Nathan's French fries, crinkle cut fries, in the oven. Holy shit, are they good? So I did that, and I was pretty good. I was good for most of the day, and then I hung out with a buddy. One of my buddies wanted to hang, so we went. I took him to Kinchley's Tavern in Ramsey, New Jersey, one of the best pizza places in New Jersey. Took him there, and he lost his mind. It was good. So that was pretty good. Even though I'm talking about going, like, just trying to do better. I mean, that was really fat. Nah, it was, you know, that is fat boy shit. But when you don't have any food in your house and you make up, you have a little concoction, you make it happen. And then I saw Randolph. Shout out to the homie Randolph Terrence. He put on Instagram, like, he was making some eggs, and he put some Cajun sparkle in his eggs. I'd have to talk to him about that. That's pretty interesting. It seems like it would be a little intense. I don't know, but perhaps I'll try that this weekend. We'll see. But what I did do when I tried, like, I got to try Andy Klein's chicken thigh biscuit sandwich. When you put the you get chicken thighs and you pull off the meat from the bone. You put Cajun spark. I think he said you put Cajun sparkle on it, and then you put some barbecue sauce on it. So I'm gonna try that one day too. And I was in the, I don't know if it's because it's summertime, but what are the fat boy things I cannot talk about now that I'm on this? We have a fat boy segment. I don't know how long this episode is gonna be because. One, it's, I turned the AC off, and the AC was just making too much noise. It's like, it's just like a buzz, and I was trying to keep that going. I've got a nice salad waiting for me for dinner, so that's two things, and it's just, so I'm going to just try to power through and give you a solid episode, so I don't want to miss this week. Because I have an announcement to make. You like that tease? I have an announcement to make, so keep listening. Don't sign off yet. And what was something else I wanted to say, too. So I'm going to try to... I want to at least give you a half hour. How about I at least give you a half hour? There's other shit on the Patreon. I posted an episode on Sunday for Patreon folks. Thank you for supporting the Patreon. I did get a new member. Now, when I want to find these things, let's see. Then look at the notifications on the Patreon. Thank you to Fabian. Thanks, Fabian, for signing up for the Patreon. I really appreciate you. That's fucking awesome. Thank you for supporting the show. What other fat boy things? Kinchley's Tavern, Popeyes. Gotta try Andy Klein's recipe. So I was in the grocery store this morning getting a couple things for breakfast. Then I wanted to get some ketchup because I was running out of ketchup. And I'm in the grocery store and I'm in the condiment section. The condiment section with the barbecue sauce, it's the biggest barbecue sauce selection I've ever seen in my life. They've even got a Budweiser flavored barbecue sauce. There's so many different kinds. The best that I've had, that I've enjoyed, like from just getting from the grocery store, was the sticky fingers. And it's just called, I think it's called, like, let me see if I can look this up. Sticky fingers. I don't even know if it's still. It's recently. Sticky fingers. Hot sauce. Barbecue sauce. It should be. Yeah. Sticky finger sweet. Sweet Southern Heat barbecue sauce. And then there's one that I tried. Carolina Class. I wasn't too keen on that. But I could tell you the Southern Heat barbecue, and I'm assuming they've got Memphis original. Either way, I really like that. And you can get your a rotisserie chicken, and if you want to spruce it up, you can put, when you warm it up in the oven the next time you eat it, you put a little bit of that on it, or you could do it when you first get it. I don't know. You do whatever you want to do. But I do enjoy Sticky Fingers barbecue sauce. But that That thing looked really intense. And I don't know if it's because it's summertime that they have all those out, but that was more than I ever remember seeing in my 39 years of life. And also, candy. I really like, I'm a Reese's peanut butter cup guy at heart. Like, that'll always be my favorite. And I've talked about the fact that they've discontinued the Reese's Bites. It's been over 10 or 12 years now. What is 2005? I want to say maybe 2005 is the last time I had that. So what is that, like 14 years? Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. A long time ago. But Reese's has these, so I love Reese's. M&M's has this, and maybe I'm a minority in this. I'm a minority, period. But, hey, yo, M&M's candy bar. The candy bar that's just like the peanut butter. Like, those are good. I like those. M&M's candy bars with mini, like, I guess they have like the mini Reese's. Shit, why do I keep saying Reese's? The mini M&M's in there. Those are good. But I don't have stuff like that every day. Sometimes when I see them on sale, I'll have one. On the weekend, I'll get one. I'll get some and you know, maybe try to sneak it into the movies or something. That's usually what I do. I like those. Is there any other Fat Boy stuff? I think that's all for the Fat Boy stuff, but man, during the week I try to have like a decent lunch. Like, I went to that Maywoods market and I got some meatloaf and broccoli rabe and some like potatoes, like just to have like a full lunch, and then for dinner I don't have to be like a fucking savage. And then a big test for me, which I don't like to do, but I had like Thursday I had a show last week. Shout out to Ritu Chandra for having me on her double platinum comedy show. I had a great time. I'll probably talk about that later. I talked about it on the Patreon episode, but I there's an article that I want to talk about and then just try to connect some threads a little later. That's another tease. Look at me being a professional. You'd think, I guess after 6 years of doing this shit, you'd get some form of professionalism or some form of a through line by me doing it this long. So I wanted to talk about that, but I had lunch, and then I think I had like some M&M's when I went to the movies and a water, and I didn't eat at the bar. Cause I was just like, I really don't like to eat before shows. And normally I would have just gone to McDonald's or something after the show. But then I knew I was going to have to lay down and go to sleep and then get up early. And I just wouldn't feel right. I wouldn't sleep well. So I'm trying to cut back on eating like that. So I just had some like two fruit cups, just had that, and then took my ass to sleep. And then woke up and tried to, and just, you know, sometimes when you do that, you can get a little like woozy if you don't eat. But yeah, I'd prefer to not do that and then just eat. I just have to maybe eat before the show. But there was really not that much time, and I was kind of rushing to get to the club, to the bar show where I was doing whatever. But yeah, so that's like a small victory in the Fat Boy struggle of not eating late. That's important too. Not eating late. Yeah, so talked about Popeyes, talked about Fat Boy shit. In a couple days, Thursday, August 1st, come to Just Jake's in Montclair, New Jersey. It's we're doing a fundraiser for my good buddy, John Minus. He has come. How much? He's got a GoFundMe page, but he's going through some medical issues, and we're having a fundraiser for him. There's going to be a bunch of comics there. Let's see. It's the John Minus tribute fundraiser and non-productive comedy show. John has a comedy show that he hosts with Frank Halabi. How do I make sure I'm saying his name right? Let me make sure I'm saying Frank's name right. Okay, hold on a second. Oh boy. You know when you try to pull something up and then Frank Halabi. So Frank is one of the producers of the show, and Frank and John have a monthly comedy show at Just Jake's in Montclair, and he reached out and said that, you know, they're going to have a special show that's going to act as a fundraiser for John. He also has a GoFundMe page that's up, so help him meet that goal. And it's a good thing for a good guy, man. John is a friend of the podcast, a friend of mine. He's been on the show and probably one of the better episodes of the show. So, I mean, you can listen to that and then maybe you can donate if you can't make it. Donate to his GoFundMe and it would be really cool. So, I'm going to be there. I'm going to read you. I'm going to find the name of this, the number of this episode that he did a couple years back. Let me see. I didn't know that I was going to mention the episode he was on. I would have pulled it up for you guys. Where the hell is it? Which episode was he on? Huh. It's in the backlog, guys. Damn it. I hate when I'm looking for some shit and I can't find it. But if you look in the archives, it's there. So John Minus, very funny dude, good guy. He's going through some hard times right now. So just fucking help out. All right. That's not sound like a dick. Jay, just fucking help out, you guys. It's going to be fun. And it's going to be some people that you might know. If you're a part of the, I don't know, the podcast universe, Justin Williams, Natty Bumper Car. I don't know that guy, Josh. Darren Patterson, friend of the podcast. Ty Rainey, he's been on Comedy Central. Taj Osorio. Carolyn Castiglia, friend of the podcast. I mean, it's some people out here, young, that's going to be on this joint. Gordon Baker Bone, very funny dude, also friend of the podcast. I got to get him back on the show. Gordon, come on the show. And then me. It's going to be, and probably some other folks too. So it's going to be a good time. Make sure you come through. Yeah, it's going to be fun. So come to that. What else? I saw the Quentin Tarantino flick Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Saw that last week and I really enjoyed it. Rod from The Black Guy Who Tips, he and I did a spoiled movie review on his behind his paywall, and we had a good time talking about it. It's interesting, you know, like I remember when this movie was announced and he started casting actors and everything. People were trying to find fault with it, and they hadn't seen a trailer, you know, and they hadn't seen the trailer because they hadn't started filming yet. And people were trying to find problems with it. It was just really, it's really annoying, man. And so Rod had joked, you know, he was going to count how many times. I think it was Rod or, you know, joking with some friends and just saying like, you know, how many times a character is going to say nigger and, you know, all this stuff. And you see the movie, spoiler alert, that no character says the N-word. And then I see people like the wokes saying like, oh my God, I saw somebody that I respect. That's like I follow on Twitter. He was just like, he's a misogynist and he has a foot. Tarantino is a misogynist. He has a foot fetish and he's just he says the N-word in movies and da, 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 da. None of that. I mean, if he has a foot fetish, I think there was a character that, you know, showed her feet and whatnot. But I mean, I don't know. He didn't do a lot of the things that people get pissed off at him for. A lot of his stuff is violent. I mean, most of his movies are violent. And he talks about, like, women. It's interesting, like his relationships with women, how he must have a real problem with women. And I guess him and Uma Thurman had some problems. But then, like, Uma Thurman's daughter and Ethan Hawke's daughter, Maya Hawke, was in the movie. So maybe they squashed their problems if she let her daughter, you know, be. I mean, maybe, I don't know what their relationship is like, you know. But at least Maya felt enough to be safe and do the movie. So maybe they did squash their beef. I don't know. He could, if it was the other way, maybe he could have been like, well, I'm not casting your daughter in my movie. I don't know. It's just, I just think if you're not a fan of the guy, then maybe don't see his movies, or just like try to be mad. I don't know, man. It just becomes annoying. So I don't know. I've been in this apartment for like a long time, for almost 12 years, and neighbors, the people kind of come and go. But the last year and a half, they just slam the doors at all times of day. And I try to be nice because I come in probably later than any of them. Like sometimes I'll get home late from a show, or it'll be like 1:30, 2 o'clock, even if it's like 10:30, 11 o'clock in this neighborhood, that's pretty late and nobody's really making that much noise. And some people just slam the fucking door. It's annoying. It's annoying as hell. Like where you don't have that. Now I can see if you're carrying stuff, if you're carrying something and it causes you to slam, you can't like let the door close gently. I get it, but motherfuckers just don't give a fuck. Don't consider anybody. Just, I don't know, man. That's annoying to me. And then Thursday night, I get home late. On a school night, on a work night, when you got to go to work the next morning, you get home at 11. That's pretty late, you know, coming home from a show or something. Somebody's dumbass. Somebody's smoke detector or the battery went out, and you could hear it go. Nobody did anything. Nobody like called the super or the landlord or did anything to get it to turn off. I think somebody maybe eventually turned it off, maybe an hour or two later. But that's, I mean, just nobody gives a fuck. I don't know, man. Let me stop bitching. But yeah, like Tarantino's movies, they have violence in them. And like for them to talk about, oh, he's this certain way about women. He made two of his. One of my favorite movies, technically, Quentin Tarantino says Kill Bill is one movie, but there's a 3-hour movie. There's a 3-hour movie with him that he has a female protagonist that's getting back at the men that fucked her over, the men and women that fucked her over. And it's great, you know. I guess maybe I have to like just pull away from Twitter sometimes, because in a lot of ways, as good as Twitter has been really good for me. If you use it in the right way, it's good and it works. Social media in general, but it's very toxic for a lot of times, and people are just so negative and they just spew negative bullshit all the fucking time. And it's just like, do y'all ever really enjoy anything besides Beyonce? Beyonce is the only thing that most people can agree on. So And even them, people still have a problem. Somebody on Facebook wrote the other day, like, I just didn't like The Lion King. And I don't know. Like, he was trying to talk shit about her, but didn't mention her name. And like she was Voldemort or something. I guess, is that a right way to do that? Because I've only seen one of the Harry Potter movies and I didn't read any of the books. And like, you, I just don't know why. It's just like, I just don't get it. I don't know. I think she ruined. I was like, wow, person's being really bold. Now, they did say it on Facebook and not Twitter, because if it was on Twitter, I think that I would probably check on to see if that person was still alive if they said it on Twitter. Let's just put it that way. But yeah, people are just so negative, man. I didn't even, and like, one of my buddies texted me, he's just like, I thought it was boring. And I think that person that is like super young. I didn't know that much about Sharon Tate or Charles Manson, to be honest with you. I know Charles Manson, serial killer, all that stuff, and he's a psycho. But I didn't know. I'm not like heavy into the murder documentaries. I haven't seen that many of them. So, and there was a guy next to me, and he was like, "Oh yeah, well, it's kind of like this, this, and this." He was like, he had to be like in his 50s, maybe like his late 40s or early 50s, but just old enough to remember that shit. And he was like, "Yeah, well, this is this, and blah blah blah, and they did this thing was." You know, turned around and blah, blah, blah. Then I watched a couple YouTube clips about like Easter eggs and it's a 30 minute clip on, if you've seen the movie. Let me look it up. I'm going to look it up and tell y'all what it is, young. Okay, hold on. Excuse me.
I'm Sean Fennessy, and this is Chris.
Sean Fennessy and Chris Ryan on, I think it's on The Ringer's YouTube channel, and it's called Explaining Who's Real and Who's Fake in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And they give a 30-minute breakdown about the main characters and everything like that, which is really good, and it's helpful if you're not aware of, you know, what's everything revolving around this movie. So I really rocked with that and learned some stuff and how it's connected to actual history and why there were changes that were made. And it's pretty interesting. I dug the movie. I've always been a fan of, and when I'm thinking about hit ranking, I would have to say Kill Bill's up there. If we're talking top, let me look at his movies, young. Let me look at this list, because there was a list. Let me go to my favorites. Go to my favorites on Twitter. Twitter's pretty different on the desktop here. Okay. Well, Justin Chang from the LA Times, he wrote out the films of, what did he say here? The films of Quentin Tarantino ranked from oldest to newest. So we've got Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction, Jackie Brown, Kill Bill Volume 1, Kill Bill Volume 2, Death Proof, Inglourious Basterds, Django Unchained, The Hateful Eight, and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. My top five. Man, I don't know how you would handle Kill Bill. Do you handle Kill Bill by saying it's one? Like, if you go for what Tarantino, the director, the guy that made the movies, I would say, whew, Kill Bill. If I say Kill Bill's one movie, that's going to have to be number one. I would say Django Unchained at number two, because Django Unchained, it's like a, I said when it first came out, that was like, when I saw that, it was like the Dark Knight for black people. So Django at two, Pulp Fiction at three, Jackie Brown at four. Ooh, wait a minute. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood at four, Jackie Brown at five. So we got Jackie Brown at five, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood at four, Pulp Fiction at three, Django at two, Kill Bill at one. Kill Bill's one and two, volumes one and two at one. That's pretty good. So that's I would say, like, that's kind of a, it's kind of a quick and dirty list, because I think I spent the most time with those, like watching those more than one time. I'm gonna see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood again. The way when Rod and I were talking about it, he made me want to see that shit like the next day, but I want to see it in 35 millimeter, and I was gonna see it the next day and at the Alamo Draft House, but I was like, I don't want to go. I'm not trying to go across the bridge. It makes me feel like I'm going to work when I don't have to be. So I think after work tomorrow, I'm going to go see it at the Jacob Burns Film Center. I think that's what I might do, young. I think I might do that because I haven't been there all year. I haven't been to my favorite, theater all year. It's AMC's taking over, man. AMC's just, it's the best deal going right now if you're a movie fan. Probably going to see Hobbs and Shaw on Friday in Dolby at the Garden State Plaza, probably. I did get my ticket, so I'll probably see that. Depending on how traffic is on Friday. But yeah, I'm a fan of Tarantino. I didn't feel the time. I didn't feel the 2 hours and 45 minutes. I fucked with it. One of my buddies texted me. He was like, I didn't get it. It was boring. He's like, it's one of his worst. I was like, really? You didn't like it? I think for this one, because somebody said this on a podcast or something, that this is the first time. No, I heard it on Collider. They were talking about how this is one of his first. He always assembles a really good cast, but this is the first time where he had like DiCaprio, Brad Pitt, like heavyweights, just heavy like that. And then Margot Robbie, you know, people said she wasn't in it. She didn't say that much. She didn't really say anything, but I think maybe she was kind of like a cipher of some, like kind of like the Sharon Tate thing where it was just, I ain't gonna spoil that. But I told this to Rod. I said, you know, you got to think, if you're an actor and you're coming up in the game and the best, one of the best, I think Tarantino is one of the best filmmakers, one of the best American filmmakers ever. One of the best filmmakers ever of his gen. I think he's one of the greatest. If he asked me to do him now, now if it was some like, if it was some coon shit, nah, you know, if he gave me a good part and it was a small part and he was like, hey, Chris, would you like to be, I have this part, you don't have to audition. This is the part. It's a good part. It's small, but really would want you. I'd love you to be in this. I would say, yeah, of course. And maybe that's what it was like for Margot Robbie. And I'm sure whatever her rate is, I'm sure she got paid and she got paid well. I didn't know this until today, but Sony, this was his first studio film, and it did well. What did it do? What did Box Office Mojo, say? They're showing me Monday Box Office. I want to see the weekly. Well, Monday, it's made 4 million. Okay, weekend. Here we go. 26th through 28th. Click to view. So it made 41 million. 41 million. Lion King made, crossed over to a Billy over the weekend, which I haven't seen, and I'm not really that excited to see it. Yeah, so Sony was a studio, 41 million last week. Hobbs and Shaw is coming out, so I don't know. That might take, I don't know if it's going to overtake The Lion King, but I know it's going to at least be in the top three. It has to, people love that franchise. And I want to see it because I know it looks like it's going to be fun. What was my fucking point about all that? Yeah, I'm a fan. He's one of the greats. I even told Ron, I was like, if Steven Spielberg said, "Hey Chris, I know I want you to do this part. It's only one scene, but you know, I think you'd be great for it." I would say, yeah, Steven Spielberg, I'll be in your movie, legendary filmmaker. Icon, yeah, I will be in your movie. Shout out to Kate Berlant, New York comic, who was in it. Had a part in there. And I used to do Kate Berlant's show at the Cake Shop in the Lower East Side, in the LES, like years ago. So shout out to her, doing her thing, making moves. But Kate Berlant's been making moves for a long time. She's been killing it. That's huge for her to be in that shit. Yeah. Oh, and new Amazon Prime series, The Boys, everybody's going crazy over it. I think it's okay. I think it's solid. I like it. But a lot of the nerds, my nerd friends that are really into superheroes and comic books, they say it's the best thing I've ever seen. It's the best TV show about blah, 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 blah. I was like, okay, nerd, that's what you believe. Shout out to Jess Salguero, who was in it, friend of the podcast. I'm telling you, man, you do this podcast, your stock will rise. There's quite a few people who have been on this show that have become quite successful and out there. So, I'm not going to brag, but that's what this podcast is, you know, whatever. What else? Talked about Tarantino, Baltimore. Trump said some shit about, did he say something about Elijah Cummings? Is that what he's just like, is that it? What he said? I don't even remember at this point. Yeah, he said something about U.S. Representative Elijah Cummings, who's constantly speaking out against Trump's bullshit and all that stuff. And Trump has said some shit, and then some guy, I forget what the guy's name is, forgive me. He was on CNN and he was crying on CNN, and he's like, Baltimore is a nice city. And then people made a hashtag about it. I was like, look, people were talking shit about Baltimore for a long time. But every time people are like, you know, is it like The Wire? Is it like The Wire? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Is it like, and I don't know. As a kid, some of my best moments as growing up happened in Baltimore. Going to baseball games with my dad, going to the power plant. As a kid, my parents took me to that. The power plant, I guess you could call that like a, it wasn't necessarily an amusement park, but it was just kind of like a fun place. I'd have to ask somebody what the fuck that was. I just remember going to a 3D movie for the first time, and stuff would be coming out at you, and I tried to grab it, and my dad laughed at me because I was really trying to grab the shit. Moments with, you know, on field trips, going to the harbor. It was a big deal to like eat lunch at some cool place at the Inner Harbor at the food court. And I remember people used to go to Hooters and they were like, "Oh, fucking Hooters." I go to Hooters on a regular basis. I'm not proud of it. but the wings are good. And when you want wings, and it's like close to me, like I like Wegmans wings too. Now I'm turning this into a fat boy segment, but good times with friends, going to school, getting like a, you know, getting a souvenir from the aquarium. I went to All-Star Fan Fest with my dad, going to the fabric store with my mom. She liked to go up there. We drive up there and she'd get fabric and stuff. Being in those rooms with all the fabric. Because my mom's a seamstress. And going to Fuddruckers for the first time. Still trying to turn it into a fat boy thing. I don't know, man. Just like, it's a good city. You know, you don't need, people think Baltimore's good, you guys. I don't know. It's just like, he knows what he's doing when he does shit like that. It's like a broken dog whistle. Like, we know what he's doing. Like, the dog whistle gets everybody. It's not just the people his base. It's everybody, because everybody hears it. Everybody knows what he's trying to do. It's not a dog whistle anymore, you know? It's a moot point, and I'm just tired of it. I'm sick of it. And then I fight back in ways that where I just root for black quarterbacks, and I'm watching ESPN is on mute right now, and they're talking about this kid, Haskins from Ohio State. And I guess if he starts, I'm a Redskins fan, or as Bomani Jones says, I'm a fan of the racial slurs. So maybe I'm a slurs fan now if he starts. And if he, I just don't like how, and Andy Klein has been shown he put a light on this, the fact that like DC doesn't know how to treat superstars. So I wish this kid the best. The Maryland DC area doesn't know how to treat these star athletes, especially when they don't. And then he's a black quarterback. So we see, rooting for the skins or the slurs, rooting for Patrick Mahomes. I was so crushed when he lost, but he's on the cover of Madden, and now I kind of want Madden now. Oh my God, let me end. I don't know what the hell happened with this podcast, with this episode. I just didn't want to. I've set the, in my calendar, I have somebody that I'm super excited to talk with. That is on the schedule. So I'm excited about that, but I just didn't want to leave you guys hanging. So I thought, you know, I'd shoot the shit for a little bit. I think, was there anything else I wanted to? I think that might be. Oh, I know what. So before I started recording, I saw where Childish Gambino did a cover of a Chris Gaines song, aka Garth Brooks. Some song called Lost in You, and I saved it to my watch later for YouTube, but Rod retweeted it, and it's from Nappy Afro. And I didn't know Nappy Afro. I thought Nappy Afro was just hot chicks, but apparently it's like a lifestyle website. Where, like, I get they have like music. Let me go to this website. Reviews, music, articles, women, Frocast. Because, like, they just have these hot women. And see, I had to delete some of these because it was just becoming too much. And you know, it's too much when I was like, okay, I'm starting to follow more of these women that I shouldn't be following. I had to go and take some of them down. But I didn't know like they had like articles, and I didn't know this was like complex.com. I thought Nappy Afro was just like hot women and it was like a play on word. It was like a play on a woman's nether regions. That's what I thought. So silly me, but based on their Instagram, I mean, what else could it be? Yeah, it's just beautiful women that God made. No, yes, he made them, but it's not just for male pleasure. It's just that he made them as beautiful creep beings. Oh, God, how do I get out of this? If you go to Nappy Afro's Instagram, there's beautiful women there. But there's no sign of like anything else about culture and Donald Glover doing a cover on this YouTube series, like a version. This is the same YouTube show that he did the Tamia join on. He sung that Tamia cover. That was actually really good. So yeah. I think I got out of that. And the dismount. Yeah. So that's pretty neat. And hopefully if you didn't know already, if you don't follow me on social media, I was very briefly on an episode of Orange is the New Black, the final season, season 7, episode 5, about 50 minutes into it. I played a juvenile corrections officer, a juvie CO, and it was directed by Laura Prepon, the very lovely Laura Prepon, who was on That 70s Show. So fucking cool to be a part of that. Like, I had auditioned for parts a couple of times and came really close to one thing, and then they called me back to do another part, and this worked out. It was one of the quickest shoots that I had done to this point. Shot it at the Westchester County Jail. That was pretty intense, and it was fucking cool, man. So it was really cool to have a small part of being on such a well-loved show, and very, very, very thankful and all that shit. I was talking to somebody about like what your idea of success is and all this stuff, and I'm literally living my dream. You know, obviously, you know, we talk about this shit on the podcast a lot and with the people that I talk to, but I'm literally living my dream. Everything that I said, a lot of the things that I said that I wanted to do, aspired to do when I was younger in high school and college, like, I'm doing it. It may not be at the level that I want to be doing it, but I'm doing it. And a lot of people can't say that. And it's pretty fucking cool. It's really cool. So I'm really, it's not lost on me every time I get to do something like that. Obviously, you know, you want to be, man, I could do more, young, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, young, it's pretty fucking cool. I wanted to close. I guess I'll close with this. The homie Josh Gondelman, who is one of the, I believe he's the head. I think he's a producer, writer, producer on Desus and Mero. He also a friend of the podcast. You can look that episode up. I'm telling you. I think Josh was writing for Last Week Tonight when he was on the podcast. But since then, he's on Desus and Mero on Showtime. You know? He's in a higher position on Desus and Mero. So again, another example of the mundane festival bump. He wrote this article for Vice magazine, and talking about, it says, the title of it is How I Learned to Deal with Stress After My Creative Escape Became My Job. So after he started becoming more successful at stand-up, you know, which was something that was once like a release, like kind of a hobby or something, you know, to do to get your mind off of your stresses, he got successful at it, and it became a job. And then he needed a release from that to a certain degree. And he mentioned like going to concerts where, or shows where he's not like performing, and that especially like a non stand up show, because a lot of times when you go to a stand up show, you're thinking like, oh, what would I have done? And I find myself doing that too. When I see like go to see a comic, you know, you think about the openers, like, oh, I could have fucking opened for that guy. Everybody gets like that, especially if you're a comic. But anyway, that really struck a chord with me, and I recommend that you guys check it out. I put it on my timeline, my Chris Lamberth feed. I should retweet that to, I'm going to retweet it to the podcast feed as well, so you can see it. So I just did it, guys. I just retweeted this, folks. I just retweeted myself, you guys. They're showing this Hobbs and Shaw trailer. I'm good as long as Idris Elba doesn't die. I know he's the bad guy, but I'll kind of be pissed if he dies. But at the same time, I'm happy to see that he's in a huge movie. Even though he's been in the huge Avengers movies, it just doesn't seem like they don't know what to do with him. And I'm not talking about any Bond shit. I could give a fuck. Aren't they making Bond 007 a woman or something? A Blick woman? So that's cool, but I don't know. He's a big guy. He's handsome. He can act. What the fuck is the problem? I don't know. What are we going to do, folks? So it's really good. And the thing that kind of struck a chord with me, the article, because he said, you know, he likes going to concerts. And that's why a lot of times I talk to you guys about, you know, I go to a concert and I just rave over like how good somebody is. Like, I've gotten to see. OK, I finally got to see Eric Roberson this year. That was cool. And I had one of the best sets I ever had this year. A really great set after seeing him, being inspired by his stage presence and the fluidity of his performance. I got to see Jenny Lewis, which was amazing. I kind of went down a rabbit hole with Jenny Lewis last night and today at work, just like going down, listening to if you work with me, if you work at my job and you're listening to this, I just had the audio playing. I was not watching a video. I put like some papers over my phone so nobody would see the video, but I was actually listening to my phone while I was working. Okay, so anyway, my favorite record off this On the Line album, I think I mentioned it on the Patreon episode. But it was this record called Little White Dove. And I was just like, God, why does this song like just fucking like connect? Why am I connecting with this song so much? Why am I vibing out? One, it's a good jam. It's got a good groove and it's got a good melody. And it's just like the bass line is sick. And it's just like, this is fucking great. It's a little dirty. The bass line's a little dirty. And it's just like, it's good. I was like, man, that's this fucking groove. And I think I'm reading an article and the song is basically about her mother. Her mother died. And it was about her visiting her mom at the hospital while her mother was dying. And then you kind of put things together after you figure that out. Or come to the understanding of what the song's actually about. And it's just like, holy shit, is this fucking thing good? And it's like, my mom's dying, but this is somebody said like, this song is a bop. Like somebody on like a thread said like, yeah, this song's about her mom dying, but it's a fucking bop. And it's just like, damn. And then like just listening to her talk about it in interviews is just like, fuck. And like, it's just like an artist turning their pain. And she wasn't always, didn't always have a great relationship with her mom. And if you, and if you've never, I've talked about Jenny Lewis and Rilo Kiley before on the show, but if you've never listened to Jenny Lewis at all, ever, if you've never heard of her in your life, I would say, do this assignment. I would assign you to listen to the title track off her solo album called Rabbit Fur Coat, and then listen to Little White Dove. And she, so the Rabbit Fur Coat is basically about her mom and show business, and then, and then listen to Little White Dove, and then just take it from there. I mean, I think she's an incredible artist, incredible writer, vocalist. She's just like the total package. Yeah, she's amazing. So I'm a big fan of hers, and I would say, if you never heard of her before, first song you listen to is Rabbit Fur Coat, and then listen to Little White Dove. And then like with the last album that she did about 4 or 5 years ago, The Voyager, I think the last record is about her dad that passed away. Like, her dad passed away around the time that The Voyager came out, that album. I think she's incredible. Just as someone, knock on wood, who still has both his parents and can empathize, but you turn some of the most, regardless of what her relationship was like with her parents, and she even says this, but just for her to deal with that, and a lot of artists do this. They do this all the time. You turn that pain into art and make something beautiful out of something that hurts you. Like, I think it's fucking incredible. So, Josh made me think about that, when he wrote that piece, and it was just like, that's just the some of the most relaxing things. And I got to see Van Hunt twice this year in two different settings, one where it's just kind of like a chill, laid back type performance, and then another where he's kind of at the height of his powers, just using all of his powers and really just being a one-man band at both times. One being, you know, like VH1, what is it? I keep forgetting, what is it, Unplugged or Storytellers or some shit like that, just really chill and laid back. This one being like kind of oozing the bravado and the sexuality, the masculinity, and murdering the fucking City Winery in New York City, just killing it, and just really inspired by these artists, man. And like, even seeing Bill Burr earlier, probably that kind of started my year off right, even though it was February. Just like seeing him at the Borgata in February, just turned like that event center at the Borgata is at least maybe like 2,700. That's what the manager told me. So like 2,700, close to 3,000 people. Turning that big room, that event space, which to a certain degree, is it really conducive to comedy? Maybe, probably. You know, you could do a show there, but like, he turned that into a small club. He turned it into a club, and just to watch the shit that he was doing was like masterful. And knowing that he was preparing for his special was just kind of inspiring, and just to see him work, not even just like the material was great, but then the other things he was doing along with that, and seeing him, in an arena in Connecticut, seeing the material, like, oh, that's going to be, like, seeing it, it's like, oh, that was a good set. So that was like October of 2018. He does a set, you know, at the, in Bridgeport. Like, maybe that's like maybe 10,000. I don't know how big that place was. It's 10,000. It's a big fucking arena. But the Garden, both the TD Garden and the MSG is obviously bigger. But seeing him in a small arena, rock it out, do well, kill it, and then seeing him later on when he's about to do a special where it's the material's tighter, it's fucking incredible, man. So yeah, go see some of your favorite artists if you can, you know. It doesn't have to be the most expensive seat, but go see somebody that you like. See an artist that you like. See an actor in a play. See, I don't know, go support the arts, but somebody that's doing something that you really appreciate, go check that person out live and see, you know, see what it does to you when you come down from that. Like, does it inspire you? What does it do? I don't know. That's my PSA for the week. I gave you an hour. Look at that. Look at that, folks. I blabbed enough for you to have a full hour of some quality. I guess it was a quality podcast. I don't know. We'll see. You be the judge of that. You tweet at me and let me know if this was amazing. Don't tweet at me about this. Just, I hope you liked it. I hope while you were doing laundry or driving home from work or, you know, ironing clothes or doing something, I hope that you were entertained and I got you through something. I hope this brought you out on the other side. Yeah, so that's it. Thursday, August 1st, come to that show. Come to the show, the John Minas tribute fundraiser and non-productive comedy show at Just Jake's at 8 o'clock p.m. I think the doors open at, is it a doors open type thing? Well, it's from 8 to 10 p.m. So $7 online until noon, day of the show, $10 at the door, lineup subject to change. I'm going to be there. And the food's good, too. So the food's really good there. So you can eat, get some laughs, and have a good time. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I appreciate you guys so much, and I'll talk to you next time. Peace.